We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dusty and Friends.
What would you rather be, a lion or a panda?
Coach, I'm me. Why would I want to be anything else?
This is Dusty and Friends with Dusty the Fan Man Hera.
I'm not sure you realize how psychologically healthy that actually is.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two, Dusty and Friends. Danny Morang with us in studio. We'll have more NBA Blazer stuff. The Goose. The Goose died. I heard that in Bucks Update.
Yeah, Can we stop having, like, I know we can't, but like, can we stop?
No, people will continue to die. That's part of life is death. 55 years old, big man, humongous man.
He was like 330 when he played, right?
Yeah.
He was a big boy.
And now we look at 330, it's body types are so different in the NFL.
Yeah. Donald's what, like 310 or something like that, but he has a six pack, but that's also, he's a cyborg.
So, but cyborgs are playing line now.
Yeah.
Like, you sit there and you look, you're like, well, you're not, you and I aren't what's from the same species.
The monster from Baylor, the meme.
Oh, Sean Oakman?
Yeah.
He was a terrible person.
Yeah, he was. But if you're talking about like builds, like,
yeah, you're right?
You're like, you were built in a lab, sir. You were not, no, you, no.
You go down and you go in next to a, like a prominent Power 5 program and you look at some of the linemen. And you just stand next to him, you're looking up, you're not the same species as them. Like,
no.
They are,
they're different humans.
Enormous human beings.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. If you watch the NBA on TV and you get the opportunity to go and get down on the floor, sit courtside or just like be on the floor for a little bit, and you see these guys, it's hilarious. Like, you get those guys who are like, oh, no, if you gave me, if I got to work out and do this, I could play. No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. These are different level humans, and the NFL is its own complete monster.
I also think the reason you never like realize it is because they're always amongst their peers when you see them on television. But like, when you go and see them against an average Joe like yourself, it's staggering. I still remember the first time I stood in the Oregon locker room when Jonathan Stewart was like a freshman there, and we were only 3 or 4 years apart, and I looked over at him, and he had that famous picture in the newspaper. He was like 17 years old, and he just had like muscles rippling out of all different parts of his body, and I'm like, we're not the same species. Like, we're not. Yeah. We are built a lot differently.
There was a guy that played at Tennessee. They called him Big Vlad, and he was a lineman. And I'll never forget, like, and this was when I was in college, like, and I was in great shape. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him and I go,
oh, God.
He's like 6'5", and he had an 8-pack, and he played offensive line. And I was like, no.
Not about that life.
No.
We had Zion at Hoop Summit.
Big Vlad.
When he was 17. And I remember talking to him for about 20 minutes. He had a broken wrist, so he didn't play. And
No way. Zion was hurt?
Yeah.
Weird.
And but just talking to him, he's this, you know, big kind of jovial guy. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I'm 5'10 and a half, 5'11. I'm 200 at that point. I think I was like 260, 265. Like, I'm a very large dude and he's dwarfing me.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you're 17.
You are an animal.
Like, what? Yeah. What is this?
Bigger, stronger, faster is a thing, man.
It is just insane how big the modern day athletes are, man.
Oh, man. Well, Tony Siragusa, he didn't look like the modern athlete.
He was a throwback.
He was a throwback, and he was so entertaining when he was a sideline reporter for Fox. I loved him wearing like the fur coats and eating
very
hot dogs. Oh, it was great. And like, they have like the camera that they're wheeling up and down the sideline. Yeah. Like, what we know as the booger mobile. He was like, you don't lift me up in that thing. I'm just going to ride it up and down the sidelines at field level. He was different, man. He was awesome.
When I look at Goose, I look at the Sopranos come to life. Like he's a Jersey Italian that was just gregarious and over the top and willing to do anything to get a laugh.
And then didn't he play even like a gangster role in the 25th Hour with Edward Norton? I think he made a small foray into Hollywood. I'm pretty sure that was the case.
I mean he looks the part, so yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. But I'll have to admit the 25th Hour has not been on my watched list.
I think I saw it once and once only, but I just never knew heard that the goose was in it.
Never heard of it. Never even heard of it.
Bigger movie star, Tony Siragusa or Boban?
Boban.
Oh, okay.
Boban.
Tall, taller. Well, bigger in size.
Yes, and of movie popularity,
oh,
because
for sure,
John
Boban.
Wick 2.
For sure, Boban.
And now he's in Hustle. The
oh,
Adam
right.
Sandler
I forgot
movie.
About Hustle. I still haven't had a chance to watch it. It's on the list for this weekend.
So now people are like posting all this Tony Siragusa tribute stuff.
Yeah.
And there's this awesome anecdote here. It says it's one of his coach in 1987 when he was at Pitt passed out copies of the school's lyrics to their fight song in a team meeting. And then a sophomore, Siragusa, crumpled up the paper and shouted, "If I wanted to learn a school song, I would have gone to Notre Dame or Pitt. I want to kill people on the football field, and that's why I came here."
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Not a fight song guy, the goose.
Not a fight song guy.
Or just he wants to live a little bit on the wild side, I guess. It's a lot like saying if you wanted to be smarter, you'd go to a private school instead of a public university.
That is one thing, though. That is the only response that you can give a coach after crumpling up a piece of paper and throwing it on the ground that he gave you. Like if a coach gives you a piece of paper and he's like, "Learn this," and you just crumple it up, that is the only acceptable response is, "No, no, no. I want to kill somebody on a football field. If I would have wanted to learn a song, I would have gone to Notre Dame."
This is like Dan Campbell in kneecaps.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
It's 100% in that lane.
Like,
perfect.
That guy, Goose, just went up like 8 notches in that head coach's playbook because of what he just
depending
said.
Depending on where he was in the depth chart at that point in time, I guarantee you he went up a spot.
Yeah, his and that then his coach is telling people, "We need more Siragusas on this squad."
Yeah.
See?
Hey, more of you need to not learn this fight song. Walk-ons, learn the song, stand up front and sing. Everybody else just mouth it in the back.
I mean, that tracks. I mean, he was a different goose. I mean, that's the way you go. I mean,
yeah,
you don't have the career that he had both in the NFL and post and not just be a bit of a different cat.
And here, and speaking of, I mean, obviously he was known for his size and plugging the middle, and he was, and he had a funny story here too, where he says, "When I was in college, people always told me, sure, you can stop the run, but anyone can do that. If you want to make money in the NFL, you've got to rush the passer." Mm-hmm. Well, that's BS. It's like all the people who tell you you've got to be in computers to make money. Oh yeah, you know what? Well, you still need an effing plumber to fix your toilet, and the scarcer they are, the more money they make. Because what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Call an effing computer guy to fix your effing crapper?
Who knew Siragusa was Mike Rowe?
I love that.
I mean,
that's
perfect. And then as far as like the rushing the passer thing, it's kind of funny because that was the same time as the Williamses.
Yeah.
Like, and they got paid.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know. That's kind of a weird anecdote.
Well, because he knew where his bread was buttered. He wasn't running anybody down.
No.
He was there to plug and stop the run, and somebody's running into him and be a disruptor. So he had to justify his paycheck by saying, "You know what? Screw that." And he's right, though. That the whole plumber thing, as somebody who is
those guys make money.
I am way pro trades, and we all get told so much. Like, that is a great example of it. Like, the world needs linemen. The world needs linemen.
Both on the offensive, defensive line, and to get your electricity to your house.
You're damn right.
Look at that.
Linemen are. And I had a lineman in college who left school to go be a lineman.
We were
like, "That's fitting, Doug." And guess what?
They whispered in his ear. He just heard him. He wasn't sure which one it was.
Great career choice for him. And it's so having that kind of mentality and that idea is that's why Goose was great. He was different. He's the first place that I ever heard the term the man pond, too. The second was the show Robin Big.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I
think you're definitely picking up a particular market set when you're talking about those
heavy set fellers.
Yeah. Very, very large individuals.
I will tell you this. It wasn't Rob that was touting the man pond.
Like Deer Deck might peddle some stuff, but I don't know if he'd go that far.
All right. We need to get from one Pitt legend to another who has moved on from the University of Pittsburgh. RIP the Goose. Jordan Addison is now a USC Trojan. And USC went out of their way to make sure that they unretired a number for him. Does he even care or know who wore the number before him? We'll talk about that next. Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Jordan Addison is the big land, for USC out of the transfer portal. Caleb Williams, still probably more important. He is the reigning Biletnikoff Award winner in the world of college foosball. And he is returning to school, but not the one he was at before. He's at SC now.
Call an upgrade.
I would say Pittsburgh to LA is an upgrade.
Just a little bit.
And whether it was $3 million or the fact that he got the number three, Jordan Addison is in LA at USC, and they unretired Carson Palmer's number three just this week and gave it to Jordan Addison.
With Mr. Palmer's blessing.
Yeah, and this is I love that Carson Palmer's like, yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, that's Carson Palmer's about as laid back as it gets. So that's not exactly surprising.
And I was thinking, though, does Jordan Addison know or care who Carson Palmer is? Because every retired number that USC has is, you win a Heisman, you get your number retired.
Yes, and there's not a shortage of those at USC. So it's a kind of a situation where you look at it, and for USC fans, USC alumni, it's a big deal to Jordan Addison, who probably wasn't alive when Carson Palmer was in college. I'm like, just doing the math, I'm thinking, no, he wasn't.
Carson Palmer, if you are wondering, he played at the University of Southern California from 1998 through 2002.
Yes.
He won his Heisman Trophy in the 2002 season. And I'm here to tell you that Jordan Addison was alive.
Oh, did he just squeak in?
He was born January 27th, 2002.
So he won his, he might have won his Heisman.
He was almost a year old.
He's
11 and a half months old.
Good God. So, yeah, he has no idea.
He really doesn't. He knows Carson Palmer maybe from his career in the NFL.
And he probably doesn't even know the Bengals' Carson Palmer. He knows Raiders' Carson Palmer.
And maybe Arizona Cardinals' Carson Palmer. He's like, all right. Yeah, that guy, sure, retired his number. Way to go, SC.
Yeah.
But it brings the larger question, like, everybody knows who Carson Palmer is. Like, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But do kids know who Carson Palmer is? Should they care who Carson Palmer is?
You and I were talking about this, and, like, the dividing line, how many true superstars, just, I don't know, era-defining college football players has there been in the past 20 years? I would put Reggie Bush on that list.
Yes.
Vince Young on that list. Tim Tebow on that list. Johnny Manziel on that list. Who else has been absolute, pure, unadulterated appointment viewing?
I think Lamar Jackson. I'd put Lamar Jackson.
Lamar.
And RG3. RG3 at
Baylor.
That's
a good one too, yep.
When, I mean, Art Briles in the Baylor program can rot, but what they were doing offensively was freakish. And the fact that, like, RG3 was a world-class hurdler too, and he was playing quarterback, and you're going, what is happening here? He was the burner on the outside that had the ball in his hands every single play. He was electric to watch.
That's another good one. What's interesting about a lot of these, they all pretty much flamed out in the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, You can thank the Washington now the Washington Commanders field for RG3.
Sure. Manziel has been.
Manziel was a dumpster fire.
You know what? You know who else probably should be on the list as another tiny Browns quarterback? Baker.
You think?
I mean,
like, Baker was good, but he was more known. Like, he became part of our, and Baker was really good in college.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Don't want to say that. But if you look at every quarterback that has played in that system, they've been really damn good. And I wouldn't say he was transcendent. He was just more in the news for
maybe
all the wrong reasons.
That's what it was.
Grabbing his junk, getting run down by a fat cop in Fayetteville. Like Baker had his moments that you just went, what is happening? Planting the flag at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like he was, we always knew him and saw him.
That's probably what it is, as opposed to being the guy. But there hasn't been a ton of, my point being, there hasn't been a ton of guys that are truly appointment viewing 24/7 coverage. And you look at a guy again like Jordan Addison, who's a year old when Carson Palmer's, you know, getting ready to leave USC and a Heisman winner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he understands the, again, this is coming from the USC guy, the weight of that.
I don't think
a running back putting on number 5 at USC, like that's not a small deal. And I think that's kind
Did they unretire Reggie Bush's 5?
After the whole thing?
And now they unretired it?
It's awkward.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, they also gave back the Heisman. So I mean,
with everything that's happening right now in our world of college football, the one thing that the Heisman Trust should do is give Reggie Bush his Heisman back, and USC should reinstate all of his
that's
records.
That's the bigger thing.
Even if the NCAA says we're not going to honor it, no, USC should say screw you guys. Like, we are in the NIL world where everything that is happening in our current state is completely legal. And you guys popped him for it.
The man took $5,000, a house payment, and a Escalade.
Can you imagine what his value would be in the NIL market?
NIL deal in history.
Yes,
he was. I'm not even saying that as, again, the USC guy. There has been nobody in my lifetime more electric and more covered in college football than Reggie Bush.
He was that guy that. It was a showstopper every time he was on.
Generational. I think the closest it comes is probably Charles Woodson at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, you just had to watch every single play.
And even that, like, I don't think he was getting the touches. Like, Bush was getting, what, 25? I mean, I know he was splitting with Lendale White and many of them were going for touchdowns, though, that it was like the volume was there, too, that you felt like you couldn't step away for a series, you know?
If USC had the ball, you had to watch.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't just Reggie Bush. And that was one of the things that made him so incredible was the weapons that were around him, too. As a defensive coordinator, you were like, okay, we're going to do everything we can to stop number 5, but we also have to stop everybody else on this
team. Also back-to-back Heisman winners at quarterback.
Like, what are we going to do? They have receiver after receiver going into the NFL. You have the Khalils on the offensive line that are going to absolutely maul us and kill us. Like, what are we, what
you have
do
Hall of Fame
do?
Linebackers on the other side of the ball. Like, it was a lot, but I mean, is 20 million, is that too big a number?
For his NIL that he would have made? Yeah, just because, I mean, we haven't seen anything. Like, his market value would be way higher, but as a college athlete, I don't know. I don't think he would. He maybe would have gotten that his junior year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're talking like
a grand, like, total over 3 years.
Yeah,
I think that he probably would have gotten it.
Which, I mean, as good as players are right now, and they're better than they've ever been, I just don't see a player that is as transcendent as Reggie is on the field and his electric personality.
And I think that where we're looking at now is, I think kids would know who Reggie Bush is because the highlights that still, like,
ESPN every Classic often, runs that game once a week.
Well, you see it on Twitter. All of a sudden, you'll have like these Reggie Bush highlights. You're like, where did this come from?
It's always one of the cutbacks.
The Fresno State one.
Yeah.
Where he just stopped. And
I always just envision that SC coach windmilling the guy on the sideline.
Right, the sideline.
Go, go. And he instead stops on a dime and then cuts it back and keeps going.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But that's one where, like, the Reggie Bush highlight will keep popping up. And then every now and then you'll get the Noel Devine high school highlight film will come up from West Virginia.
Yeah.
That guy was a freak. And the Jadeveon Clowney high school highlight tape will pop up on Twitter every now and then where you're just like, oh my God.
I love the Clowney.
Well, because his offensive snaps were just remarkable on his high school tape. It was just, it was unbelievable. It was like watching
Clowney's another
Dupree.
Good one.
Clowney is a good one.
That's one I think guys are certainly going to know and respect.
Was it Mike Hart? Was it Mike Hart's head that he took off?
Yes.
The running back at Michigan?
Michigan, yeah.
Literally in the Outback Bowl, took his helmet right off.
Probably Tirico's best call ever.
And then scooped and scored it. Freak.
Did he score that one? I thought he...
No, he just fell.
No, I think he pawed himself and he was already on the ground. Yeah, so he couldn't. Yeah. He tried to get up and keep going, but couldn't.
Yeah, obviously.
God, he's so freaky.
But Clowney's a great one. I think that's probably your bar because you're not talking about like a Julius Peppers. You're not talking about a Carson Palmer. You're not talking about a Baker or who's the other Oklahoma quarterback?
Kyler Murray.
Thank you. Or even a Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
I think you have to be like the last truly transcendent recent guys are probably Lamar and Clowney.
And this is where you go back to the Jordan Addison conversation. He probably doesn't remember, you know, Carson Palmer, just like there's guys that don't remember Josh Heupel or Jason White that go and play at Oklahoma, right? And they're like, okay, you know, that was 20 years ago. That does not apply to me at all. There are a select few that these guys will remember, though. And yeah. I really do think it's probably like, if you're talking about guys that are in college playing right now and high school recruits, there's probably 10 guys that they will remember from college football and be like, yeah, I've seen his highlights. I've seen him play. And they are Reggie Bush and Jadeveon Clowney, Adrian Peterson. We have a texter saying Adrian Peterson. He's probably on that list. That guy, AP,
as good as he was,
unbelievable in college.
What year was that?
He was there in like 03 through 06 or 07.
Because he played against Oregon in 06 in that game, that reversal game. Yeah.
That game.
That was the very last event that I covered as a fan intern.
Mm.
And
made out of there alive, did you?
Well, I was there with the voice of the Trailblazers, Travis Demers, and we were down on the field, and it looked like Oklahoma was going to win. And he goes, I'll take Oklahoma's locker room, you take Oregon's. And I said, perfect. Oregon gets the onside kick, goes down and scores, and he goes, you're taking Oklahoma. I'm taking Oregon. I was like, great.
Well, they still needed to block the kick too, right? They had to block the field goal at the end.
And then we go in and I'm in the tunnel at Autzen Stadium. And there is a reporter. I'm like right in front. And I got my little 1080 the Fan mic flag. I'm holding it up there. And there is a reporter standing directly behind me and goes, so, you know, you guys kind of gave that one away. And Adrian, I looked at Adrian Peterson. I saw his face completely change. Like, and I've never seen this before in my life. He had a neck.
You've never seen like manifest rage?
Well, I've never seen it it just so quickly happen. I thought he was going to punch the guy standing directly behind me. I'm like, I think I may be in the middle of this.
Might be in the line of fire. Might need to adjust your position.
His neck completely disappeared. And all of a sudden, it was like...
just all traps.
It was like those dinosaurs in Jurassic Park that have like the
Dilophosaurus.
That's it. That happened to his neck. And I just went, oh no. And he looked at him. He goes, we did not blow that game.
He wasn't wrong.
No, he didn't.
He wasn't wrong.
He didn't. And he said something. I don't know what he said.
You just black out at that point.
It sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher at that point. Like, and I was just going through my head like, okay, how do I get out of this?
Don't die. Don't die.
He ended up saying something about how like they played their butts off. They played really hard, yada, yada, yada. But I will never forget the look on his face. And then looking back at the reporter, and the reporter like had taken like three steps back, and like he went from like second row of like this gaggle five deep to he was like in the back and gone. It was
just went go gadget arms with the mic.
Yeah.
Lean back.
I just kind of like slid over to the side. Like if you want that punch, here's an alleyway right here.
He had 34 carries for 211.
Good God.
He could not be stopped.
No,
he could not be stopped.
Yeah, I think AP might be on that list because of his NFL career. He's the one guy in this who had the NFL career, and maybe that elevates him into that status level.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's
Joe Burrow's another good one too that came in on the text.
Yeah,
line.
We talked about that one earlier. I think that one's a good one, but it's also it's a unique case because it was just basically the 1 year. Where a lot of the other guys, they built it up over years. Reggie built it up over years. Tim Tebow built it up over years.
But when that year is pops like that,
yeah, I mean, it's,
watch out now.
It's, I mean, it's arguably the greatest season ever for a quarterback, right? I mean,
yeah.
You can argue around it, but I think it's pretty safe to call it that. So, yeah, I think, and again, his success in the NFL already has kind of backed that up. But it really is an interesting example. Like, going back to when you were younger, if growing up, if they unretired, I don't know, trying to think of an older Oregon State guy in that time period. I mean, you're my age, so.
There's, but it, like, if it was Ahmad Rashad.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're talking
Mel
about.
Mel Renfro. Like,
you're going back a lot. Again, kind of dates us, but, you know, the idea of, like, what you're doing there is.
Yeah.
Like, well, for me, it'd be, like, unretiring, like, Marcus Allen's number.
But this is where it's so much different now, and these kids are going to be so much. Like, we knew who Marcus Allen was, mm-hmm. because SC was always on TV.
Yep.
Every game, we have so many highlights that come through our feeds, our TVs, mm-hmm. our devices, all over, that we become numb to them, right? It's like,
and then the ones that have to stand out.
You truly do. Like, we were told Marcus Allen, Eric Dickerson, these guys are ridiculous. Yep. And if you weren't alive for it or you don't remember it, trust me, watch this, you'll see it. And that's all we saw. Now you see so many, you're like, all right, what about that running back from Texas State? Like, he's pretty awesome. Like, no.
You're like, the bar, where are you putting it right now? Like,
way high.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a very interesting proposition, but ultimately I think it's cool that we get another single digit receiver at USC.
Yep. Number three, Jordan Addison. He back. All right, let's talk to our BetQL Network insider. We got some draft props that we need to hit Ryan Horvath with. That's after Buck with SportsCenter. Right, monumental methods. I'm not the king, but it's Wednesday just after 1:30, which means on the line right now we have the host of BetMGM Tonight and our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Ryan Horvath. Insider calls are brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to the Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, get it delivered. Also, be sure to listen to BetMGM podcast. For more of Ryan, his analysis, just search BetMGM wherever you get your podcasts. Horvath, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, thanks so much for having me, man. I'm doing good. You know, this is actually one of my favorite times of the year. I love betting games. I bet win totals. I bet a lot of futures. Major League Baseball season, though, man, it's so tough to make money during baseball season. Like, it's 162 games. So I love, actually, well, the NFL draft is my big money maker. Made about $1,500, actually, on the NFL draft. We did the live show. So now I turn my attention, I should say, to the NBA draft. The only problem is, and I didn't realize this because this is my first year in Washington, D.C. I moved here from, well, I spent time in Chicago. That's where I grew up. And then I moved to Milwaukee. So I'm, you know, from the Midwest. You actually cannot bet draft props in Washington, D.C. So this week has been hell for me, man. I've been on the phone nonstop. Luckily, I have an uncle out in the desert and I have a cousin out in New York. So I have been able to place 4 draft props. But it has been hell, man, because I did not realize that this was a thing, that this was a law, you know, for BetMGM and all throughout the D.C. area and in Virginia as well. So I can't even make like an hour drive. So excited, but also it's been pretty tough just to get these props in.
Well, as you're looking into the NBA draft, there's been a lot of movement, especially at the very top. Usually by now, like, we have it solidified. Hey, this is who it's going to be. But we've seen a lot of flux between Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, and Chet Holmgren. I see that right now Jabari Smith seems to be the favorite at number one. Do you like the pick and the odds at whether you're getting it at -240 or, you know, other places you'll see it at -400 as much?
Yeah, that's the only, you know what, what's funny, that's the only thing that you could bet here locally. And the number was, so I did jump on Jabari when he was -180, -300. I mean, you're risking $3 to win a dollar.
Yep.
I think that's a little juicy, but I think he is going number one. I think that there's a lot of smoke there. There is a lot of smoke that maybe Banchero was going to jump up and maybe he was going to go number one overall. And I got to be honest, you know, I really like him. I didn't understand the knock on him this season. We really saw, you know, in the NCAA tournament, I know there were some people that was some people that were worried about his outside jumper. But look at the tournament. He shot over 40% from three. I really like him. I think the problem was for him, he had to play within that system, and he's also playing with, you know, three other guys that are going in this draft. Chet, Chet is, his ceiling is obviously so high, but can that guy put muscle on? We don't know what he is. And then my favorite player is actually Jaden Ivey. He just reminds me so much of Ja Morant. Reminds me a little bit of Derrick Rose those first couple of years when he was actually healthy. But I do think Jabari's going number one. You know, if you, it's a very expensive price. If you have the funds, don't hate the bet, but minus 300, man, you could have had minus 180 just a week and a half ago.
The hesitation, I think, on that, as far as the draft props go right now, is that in Orlando, you've got a GM in Hammond who is taking swings on Giannis, on Thon Maker, on Jonathan Isaac, on Mo Bamba. Yeah. The guy has a type. You know, and I look at a Chet Holmgren, and for me, I'm relatively well plugged in as far as draft sources. I know Jabari is the guy that everybody keeps reinforcing, but if I'm looking for somebody there, and Chet rose and then he fell back down, like you said, Paolo rose and he's kind of been there. I still look at Chet as being a dark horse. Is there enough value in that for it to really make sense for you?
I actually think now is the time, and I just saw the number because the number has been bouncing around, like you said, and now you're getting 4-1 odds plus 400. I mean, I think that that's worth, especially let's say, okay, I think that's the perfect hedge opportunity, right? Or even if you could find a market where you could take him to go number two or number three, if you're getting plus money, why not? Because if you want to play Jabari minus 300, you might as well back yourself up and get a plus 400 bet in there, $1 to win $4. Just because, like you said, he does have a type, you know, that unicorn type player. With Chet, we've never really, I mean, I'm going to say we've never seen anything like him, but we have seen, you know, guys like him. But man, I mean, he can really do it all. And he can block shots. He can handle the ball. He can knock down outside jumpers. We don't know what his body's going to look like in 3 to 4 years. That's the only thing. But I do think it's worth a shot just because now it's plus 400. When it was only plus 180, I didn't think it was worth a shot. But right now, 4-1 odds, absolutely. I mean, a couple months ago, we thought he was going to be the number one overall pick. You know, you were laying actually juice. It was minus 125. Ooh. Now we're getting 4-1 odds. I think you have to.
Is there anybody that you look at is one of the props that I like is top 10, right? Top 10 pick odds. And one guy name that is really popping out to me is that I can see that AJ Griffin at plus 200 just to be in the top 10. Of this draft is, I like that play. Is there any other plays that you see from like a top 10 pick prop?
Yeah, so that's what I like to do too. And my favorite player in this draft, well, my favorite player in this draft is Jaden Ivey.
Yes.
But I really like Benedict Mathurin as well. I watched a lot of Arizona, stayed up late all season long, watching these West Coast games. I know it didn't end the way that I wanted to in the NCAA tournament because I did have that Arizona NCAA future from preseason. But his draft pick, so his prop, this is one I played 2 weeks ago. I made the phone call because it was 8.5. To go under 8.5, you were only laying a little bit of juice. It was minus 135. I got the good value with it because now as I look at the number, it's 6.5. And for him to go under 6.5, you actually have to pay right now minus 175 juice. So I think he goes number 5. I have a couple friends that have actually played that. It was plus 1,000 for him to be the 5th overall pick exactly. There's just so many different markets. So that's one of my favorites. I like him to go under 6.5. Another one I played, Shaedon Sharpe, to go under pick 7.5. I'm sorry, over pick 7.5. Mm-hmm. I do not think he's going in the top 7. I think he goes, man, the quickest I think we see him fly off the board is probably 8. So I went Shaedon Sharpe over 7.5. I took Benedict under 6.5. This Nikola Jovic guy, who I'm going to confuse myself with here for the next couple of years and confuse him with Jokic. I know there's a lot of smoke that, you know, that there's some teams that are interested. I took pick over 20.5. I don't think he goes in top 20, man. I think he's maybe 21, 22. And then Mark Williams, I went over pick 12.5 on him. I also don't think he's a top 13 pick. Other than that, I have no idea what's going to happen. And I think that's the best part about this draft is usually we have a good idea. I have no clue, but I do think this is a deep draft. I don't know how many guys we're going to, I don't know how many all-stars we're going to get, but I do think there's 7 or 8 guys that can make a difference right away as rookies.
All right. Before we let you go, Ryan, I've got one more question for you, and it pertains to a team that I've been rooting very hard for 1 week now. I became an Avalanche fan a week ago because I don't care about hockey, but now I do. I got some skin in the game. What are we thinking? I see that we have best value and best odds for tonight's game. BetMGM, according to Vegas Insider, -105 for the Avalanche tonight. How do you like that play?
So I love this play, and I'm with you. Yes. I'm not the biggest hockey guy. Like I said, I grew up in Chicago. You know what was funny is the Blackhawks, everybody jumped on that bandwagon. It was a good excuse to go out every single night, you know, when they won the cup a couple years in a row. But also not the biggest hockey guy, but this Colorado team is so damn good. And I know Tampa Bay is a scary team to bet against because obviously they've won back-to-back cups, and you can't beat them at home. But I love the price that we're getting tonight, only -105. We don't have to lay -135, -140 juice. They're so explosive offensively. And I know it's kind of cliche to say, but I think they needed that loss the other night, man. I really do think that they needed to drop a game in this series because that was the punch in the face that they needed. All these games, the total has went over in all three games. I lean the under, though, tonight, but I love Colorado. I played that immediately, and I love that we're getting -105. Pretty much in a pick'em tonight against Tampa.
Horvat, we'll talk to you next week, man. Thank you for your time. As always, really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, guys.
There he is, Ryan Horvat. He is our BetMGM tonight in Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today to see more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. I like the over tonight.
Yeah.
I like the over.
I mean, every single... They dropped a 7-piece.
Yeah. Well, you had 7-0. Well, here we go. We have 7-0 game 2, 6-2 game 3. The only one that... One we had, it was 6 total or 4 or 7 total for game 1.
And you
as
cleared
well.
on the OT goal. Like, there's no shortage of scoring in this series. And that's what I think has made this series so much fun.
Well, we have... Eight is the over-under right now at BetMGM.
So they've been bet up to 8 now. Yeah, no, I'm not touching that.
You've got, well, you can get it at, what is the Sports Illustrated Sportsbook? Where is that available? You can get it at 5.5.
That's Wait. Offshore. Come on.
Hold on. Well, that says Sports Illustrated.
Sure, it can say whatever it wants offshore.
8 or 6? I can't tell what number that is.
8's a monster number.
Yeah, that's got to be 6.
I mean, it could be 8. It could have been bet like, up I that high.
Well, I have to take a picture of this, and I'm going to tweet this out because I cannot tell.
I'm the one who took their contacts out.
Yeah, I know. I can't see. Yeah, it's a 6 now that I zoom in. It's a 6. I'm going to go on the over on that, though.
Listen, 6, I'll take the over on because I think that's an easier one to clear.
And if they have problems, if the Avalanche have problems in goal, finally, watch out.
Yeah, I mean that's really the thing is maybe Tampa found their juice, and I mean that offense is not exactly lacking for firepower.
All right, we're way behind.
No, that's our hockey talk right there.
That is the most hockey talk you're going to get outside of me saying I'm a big Avalanche fan.
I actually like hockey. I'm a Kings fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
So
learn something new every day.
Gross. I'm a Sharks fan. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh God. That's right. You are just a Bay Area.
He's Rye Guy from the Bay. Yeah. When he does this, he flips his hat around backwards. He turns into Rye Guy from the Bay, and he bros out. God. Guess what? 2022, even year. Let's go Giants. Hella sick.
That was a good year for the Warriors already.
All right.
Give me a break.
Dustin Friends on the Fan. Well, that's our break. We got to go back to hour number 3 now. We went over with Ryan Horvat. It was worth it though. We were talking hockey during the break.
A couple of puckheads.
Which is me just being pretty quiet over here. Did bring up Jonathan Quick, though, in the Kings Stanley Cup run.
Mm-hmm.
I did remember that. He was incredible.
It was the most... the thing I love about the NHL playoffs is that a singular player can do something. Not even just a goalie. Like, somebody can just get so unbelievably hot
week
that it will win a series or even an entire cup. That's what makes the NHL playoffs so absolutely insane.
And no lead is safe in a series or a game.
Yeah.
In a game, it's like 2-0 lead.
That's always been the the idea of like, oh, the 2-0 lead's the worst lead in hockey. It's the most vulnerable. Like, it can be 3-0, it can be 4. I mean, game one of the Stanley Cup Finals, they were up, what, 3-0?
Well, I think it was 2-0 and then went up 3-1 quickly. And it was like, I was getting ready to fire off like cocky tweets like, hey,
pack it up,
here it comes. Nope. I deleted those really quickly.
Are you a Twitter drafts guy?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay,
no.
Good. Because
when I say that, I just delete the idea from my brain.
No, I'm just saying in general, like, do you have drafts? Like, do you ever like, maybe I'll hold on to this?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
No. God, no. I'm full send. Come on.
Yeah.
Have you seen my Twitter?
I'll think before I hit send.
Oh, no. I didn't get there.
And then once it's gone, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm out. Whatever. No,
I'm like fly fishing, man. It's just, we're just fired. Let's letting it hit the water, see what happens.
Oh, good.
You know.
I like that. At least it's interesting.
Listen, Dion Waiters' shooting philosophy is very much my Twitter philosophy. Just gotta get him up, man.
Ooh, maybe we can do this. Is Meringue intoxicated or not? Under the influence when tweets go out?
Yeah, no. It's the thing.
Well, we can play that game. I mean,
we can absolutely
forward.
Play that game 100%.
Like either that or it's just a ill-advised take.
we can line with that one because I'll break this one. I'll break the news behind this one. I don't really drink anymore. Like since I got out of the Air Force,
you don't drink anymore.
No. And I took so many painkillers for all those surgeries that it's like taking Advil now. So you don't even get the good stuff out of that,
man.
Yeah, no, it's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yeah. But if I do, I think then
I'll know.
Oh, you'll know. Like that's
perfect.
The sloppiness behind the tweets will be even sloppier.
I like this. Yeah. I like this a lot. All right, let's get to hour number three. Let's talk some Blazers. Let's get back to the Portland Trail Blazers because we didn't get to this in hour number one when we were talking our draft conversation. Mm-hmm. We will get to it next. What happened to this talk of Jeremy Grant to the Blazers? Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.